So one of the most interesting things about the Seder is that if you have the same Seder with your own family for years, you don't really know how your friend is doing his Seder. And people often want validation that their Seder is the best Seder out there. So you have this opportunity to snoop on other people's Sedarim, often in a hotel. What you could do is after you finish your Seder, you go around to other tables and you could eye other people. Is there too much singing at my Seder? That guy's not singing at all. You could snoop, but that one's going too fast, that one's going too slow. People often have this desire, at least in the hotel world, to check out other people's Sedarim. You know, so you could go to a neighbor sometimes and check them out, but that's a little bit weird at 2 o'clock or whatever, 1 o'clock, to knock on your neighbor's door. But at a hotel, you have this opportunity, you have 100 Sedarim going on. You could check it out. Is that a good thing or a bad thing to check out your friend's Seder? So, do we need validation for our Sedarim or not? So Rabbi Y.Y. Jacobson, big Chabad speaker, he's a very famous speaker, tells over a story that he was once asked after giving a speech by a woman, came over to him and said, a few months ago was Pesach. The thing is, my ex-husband and I went through a very difficult breakup. After years in court over our kids, we finally settled in a shared custody arrangement, which means that we alternate Jewish holidays. This past Pesach, it was my turn. My children were coming to me and I was so excited. I changed over my home for Pesach and I prepared everything beautifully. It was going to be just me and the kids. I was so happy about them being with me that I told everyone, my family, my friends, my neighbors. Then 1 hour before Yontif, I got a call from my ex. For some reason, the kids were not going to be coming. I almost fainted with shock and heartache. I was also so ashamed. I guess I could have called my parents or my neighbors and gone to them for the Seder. But how could I actually do that? I had told everyone my kids were coming. Truth is, I did not have the energy to even be with anyone. I felt completely and totally numb, dry and lifeless. So I did the Seder by myself, on my own. It was the worst and most bitter Seder I ever had. I just sat there crying the whole time, weeping. It wasn't Pesach, it was Tisha B'Av. I did not have to eat Marr. My entire life was Marr. Yes, I went through the Haggadah and ate the matzah, but the entire Seder took me 25 minutes. So Rabbi Jacobson, she asked him, did I fulfill my Seder obligation? Was it even called a Seder? Because it did not feel like a proper Pesach. Can you eat the afikomen at another house? You want validation about your Seder. So you have an idea. I'm going to, at Banquet Tafel, you don't want to finish it. When you finish your Seder, you want to go to bed. So you're at a hotel, you got an idea. You're going to start eating your afikomen at your Seder, and then you'll walk around to all your friends' tables and sit at this guy's table for a second. You'll listen to how, because you want validation. Now look, I don't know how other people's Sedarim go. Can you do that or not? Says the Gemara in Psachim. We'll see Rabbi Jacobson's answer at the end. Don't worry. The Gemara in Psachim says like this. Ein maftirin achar ha-Pesach afikomen. What in the world does that line mean? Yeah.
Can I ask?
Yes.
You have your family Seders and you do it according to your family traditions. I mean, hug him and,
yeah,
and then the sachos and everything. What do you care what anybody else does?
Okay, so you're very...
The funniest thing is they come at the shul...
And everyone brags. My Seder lasted this long.
Says, yeah.
Okay.
How did you finish?
You approve it. Yo, you're proving my point. Everyone's got these, anxiety issues and social pressures. I agree with you, but Lamaisa, everyone seems to care about everyone else's Seder. So I'll read you a Gemara. The Gemara says, Ein maftir nachar, Mishnah says, Ein maftir nachar, Pesach v'komen. What in the world does this line mean? So the Gemara gives two explanations. Rav says, Shelo ya'akru mechaburo v'chaburo. You should not go Pesach Seder hopping, going from one Seder to another Seder. You're supposed to eat the afikomen in one place, one chabura. Shmuel says it means don't eat anything after the afikomen. We all know Shmuel's opinion. The problem is that all these Rishonim seem to say that according to Shmuel, not only does it mean that you're not allowed to eat anything after the afikomen, but he also incorporates Rav's explanation as well, which meant that Shlo Yakru Mechabura Lechabura. A person should not go Pesach Seder hopping. I'm going to eat my part of the meal here. I'm going to eat the rest of the afikom in there. You should not do that at all. Yeah. But it has to be eaten b'makom echad. That is what Shmuel and Rav apparently agrees to. Okay, that's great. The problem is that we're not having a Karban Pesach. So does this same issue apply? Afikom and halacha l'maisa. You open up a Shulchan Aruch, and Shulchan Aruch says, "Ein achar afikom and ein lechol shum davar." Don't eat anything. That implies that we don't paskin this issue of jumping from chabura to chabura according to the Svarad in the Shulchan Aruch. The only explanation that we take out of this Gemara is we paskin like Shmuel, and we only paskin like the simple line of Shmuel. Don't eat after afikomen. Everyone knows this halach. Every kindergarten kid knows after you eat the afikomen, you're not would eat anything else. That's how we paskin the Gemara. Says the Ramah, wait, not so fast. V'lo yochlenu. Don't eat the afikomen b'shnei mekomos. Don't eat it. Dlo adif, he says, because it's no better than me'elu hifsik b'shina. Whoops. A guy falls asleep in the middle of his afikomen. He says that what? Aser la'achlo. You're not allowed to eat it the second half after you wake up. Why? Mishum davi k'shnei mekomos. Because it's like two places. So says the Ramah, this big chiddush, that not only are you not allowed to eat anything after the afikomen itself must be eaten in one place. You would not be able to go seder hopping at a hotel, according to this Ramah, where you're in the middle of eating your afikomen, then you walk around munching your afikomen in all these different sedarim. You get to sit at the table next to you. And again, you're not walking so far in a hotel. Often there's that big room, and we have hundreds of sedarim or tens of sedarim going on. And so you could easily go 10 feet over to the next table. Often it's not even 10 feet. 3 feet over to the next table, or you bump into the guy behind you and you just turn your chair over and you're at the next table. You're allowed to do that or not. Often you're doing it for friendliness. You become very friendly with those people who are literally sitting on top of you in the main ballroom. And therefore you might as well just latch in and hang out with their Seder. Says the Ramah, you know how to do that. Yeah.
Question. The afikomen is supposed to be a zecher for the korban pesach.
Yeah.
Now, let's say you were eating your korban pesach.
Yeah.
You're supposed to eat a kezias of a korban pesach.
Oh, yeah.
Now, let's say you ate half a kezias, fell asleep. Are you allowed to eat now the other half a kezias?
According
to the tumakomos. And
according to this,
that,
no.
But you have to eat your kezias.
According to this Ramah, you would not be allowed to do so. It says,
means you have to make a pesach sheni.
Well, it's not gonna. If you fell asleep,
right.
Now
you have to eat a whole kezias.
Yeah, but you didn't do it. You only
you have to eat a whole kezias
again. You have to eat it again. Yeah. So he says it's b'shnei mekomos. I don't know. Probably in that case, we'd have to eat a whole kezias afterwards. We're going to talk about the kezias problem in a second. Comes along the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah makes this a little bit. All the Ramah said was shnei mekomos, two places. You're not going to eat that. To me, that means, simply put, you're not going to eat part of the afikomen in my house, and then go across the street to the other afikomen. I jumped the gun. I told you about a hotel. Where'd I get that from? Mishnah Berurah says, hold on to your hat for this one. He says, if I could find it, here we go, right here. He says, v'hu adin, the same thing, b'cheder echad, in one room, miktsaso b'shulchan zeh, a little bit on one table, a little bit on the other table, no good. Now that's a big deal, especially if you even have a family that has a couple of tables set up together. It would sound like you have to eat at the exact place that you started. You're not allowed to jump even from table to table. Okay. Now, does this chumrah apply nowadays? Is there any leniency to understand this? So the Kovetz Halachas, Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky Shlita, one of the Ziknei Gedolei of America, he writes like this: this chumrah only applies in a hotel or a similar situation when you have two different groups of people, separate groups, eating in the same room. In other words, if I all have a whole family and I've got my family all eating in one room and we just happen to have, you know, two or three tables just to make it that there's, you know, more room for everyone, he says there is no problem to move from one side of a table to the other side of the table or from one table to a different part of the room. He says that there's no problem at all. You don't have to be neurotic and kick the person out of your chair when you did musical chairs at your seder. You went up to wash and someone moved over into your seat. You don't have to kick them out and say, what do you mean? I started my afikoman in this place, and now I'm at the other end of the table. Says Shmuel Kamenetsky, the only chumrah that we're talking about over here is literally two groups. It's not the place which is the issue. Is that just like by Karban Pesach, you're now going to eat with two different groups. You pick your group and you stay there. So too, over here, you can't go from one seder to your friend's seder. Even if it's right next door to you, so it's even the next table over. Oh, falling asleep is indicative that it has to be in one makom, in one place, in one sitting, one area. If you fall asleep in the middle, you're like, you've now broken, you've made a hefsik between eating number one, eating number two. Says the Mishnah Berurah, says the Rama really, you're not allowed to do that. It's like two places. So you really need to eat dafikom, and people think dafikom you could walk around for. Based upon Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky, maybe there's room to walk around in the same room, but certainly you can't go from one table in the hotel to your next door neighbor's in the middle of your afikomen eating. You have to eat it in one spot. Now, there is a chumrah. You're not even supposed to. The Gemara Mishnah talks about people who are eating, two groups who are eating the afikomen in one room. Everyone in the Mishnah says is really supposed to keep their eyes on the ball, not look at each other. Again, we'll talk about how this gets with validation in a second, is that you're really supposed to keep your eyes on your afikomen. If you start staring at the group next to you, perhaps this also is a violation, the Gemara entertains, of eating part of your afikomen with the other group. So again, we see this stringency, this strict idea of eating your afikomen in one place, not walking around to other places. Now, the Nitei Gavriel seems to disagree with the Kovetz Halach and says, no, you shouldn't even eat at a different table in your own house or walk around, because according to him, it's not the different groups that's the problem, it's the different place. If you sat down and set your place over here for you to go walk around, we saw this in the Hilchos of Kiddush, even eating on the other side of making Kiddush, eating in one side of a huge simcha room, and then going to eat on the other side of the simcha room might cause problems according to some poskim. Halacha l'maisa, we don't usually say that, but there are poskim who are strict about that. So now you get into the question, well, how much? This gets into what you were asking before. How much of the afikoman do you have to eat in one place? Rabbi Chacham Avadi, Rabbi Avadi Yosef, writes that even if you don't eat a kezias in either place, you're still not allowed to jump places. So in other words, in place number one, you don't even eat a kezias. Now you want to say, I'm going to go to my friend's seder and I'm going to eat the whole afikoman there. It's too late. Since you already took one bite in your place, that is designated your place for the afikoman. Now, this highlights, many want to say, so they say for Ber Mayim Chaim, and this really highlights that in Mitzrayim, everyone was supposed to stay in their own lane, right? When Makas Bechoros, what did Hashem say? Everyone should not leave their house at one night. Why? Not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't determine where who's good, who's bad, but I'll read to you what he writes. The Ber Mayim Chaim says, the whole idea is that people should show Lahoros Awatsolas Yisrael. It shows that Hashem, when he wants to save you, they didn't go out from house to house. I want to give a suggestion. What perhaps is the reason why we're so strict on this night of the afikoman? You would think, look, by Sukkot, you're supposed to go sukkah hopping, you go check out everyone's sukkah, such a nice idea, you go sit with everyone's sukkah. Why by the Seder? You would think we should encourage it. Everyone's in a hotel, let everyone jump from house to house, from Seder to Seder, to see how everyone's Seder is. So I think perhaps you could give an answer, a pshat based on this. Sper Mayim Chaim. Let me read to you what Rav Jacobson answered our poor woman who was at such a horrible seder. He writes, "Lady," he said, "in 1988, the Lubavitcher Rebbe's wife died. and he was left on his own as they sadly had no children. She passed away in February, and 2 months later was Pesach. Every year, the Rebbe and his Rebbetzin had Seder together, but this year he was on his own, totally by himself. Who would the Rebbe conduct the Pesach Seder with? And then it goes on to tell how everyone wanted the Rebbe. This Gabbai and this, they all wanted the Rebbe. They all wanted the Rebbe to come join them for the Seder. But the Rebbe did not. He wanted to be by himself. And so the great Lubavitcher Rebbe, the man who inspired countless people around the world for their Siddurim, who personally undertook to provide a meaningful Pesach Seder for Israeli army personnel who were on duty on the first night of Pesach via Shluchim in Eretz Yisrael, and who inspired hundreds of public Siddurim around the globe, had the Seder on his own. Not one other person was present. As the Gemara says, if you're on your own, you ask yourself the Manish Tana questions, and then you answer them to yourself. My dear lady, said Rev. Jacobson, if it was good enough for the Lubavitcher Rebbe to have the Seder on his own, trust me, your Seder was perfect. He could have had a Seder with 100 people, 1,000 people, or 10,000 people. He personally arranged for all the public Siddurim in Eretz Yisrael to be sponsored. He was responsible for hundreds of thousands of people celebrating Pesach on Seder night, from Kathmandu to Alaska, from San Francisco to New Zealand. But at the end of the day, he went and did the Seder on his own. He didn't need anyone else to be close to God. He didn't need adulation. He didn't need validation. He sat alone and relived the Exodus from Egypt. That, perhaps, I want to suggest, is the pshat in this Gemara. You shouldn't go Seder hopping in a hotel or next door neighbor to see, check out how your friend's Seder is going. Because like you said, you know, at the beginning, everyone has their own unique Seder. Everyone has their own traditions, their own bad singing or funny jokes or certain, you know, rituals that they do. And that is exactly what creates the beauty of the Seder. That is exactly what we need, that we don't need adulation. You don't need a validation from someone else to create your Seder. I think perhaps you could suggest that that's why the Ber Mayim Chaim says, maybe it's a new pshat, why the Jewish people shouldn't leave their house while the Mitzrayim were being killed. You know why? Because what would everyone have done? Everyone would have taken pictures, they would have put it on Instagram, they would have been, you know, whatever it is. They would have tweeted or whatever, TikTok, whatever the coolest thing is. They would have gone around, watched as all the Mitzrayim are dying. And how great it was, what a salvation, it would have been on the front page, etc., of every newspaper. The whole idea is, no, that's not the idea. Everyone needs to stay b'makom echad. You focus on yourself. You focus on your Seder. How are you going to make a better Seder for your family, for yourself? How are you going to grow? That is the lesson, I think, of this halacha. That you shouldn't go, that ein ma'avir mimakom sho yakru mechabura lechabura. You shouldn't go from one Seder to another Seder. You focus on your own. And with that, we'll all be zocha to continue the traditions that our parents or our grandparents gave us. And we'll be able to create that vision for our families and be able to carry on the Mesorah and create the Seder that we remember as a child. We create for our children, our friends, and create that legacy. We should be zocher to have a beautiful Seder. Should be a Chag Kashrus Sameach.